The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
What it means to me to be a Chicago Bear, it's an easy question. It means everything to me.
That means rich tradition, black and blue division, defense, legends, linebackers.
The history of it. I mean, I'm a big history guy, so understanding this was one of the first franchises just kind of blows my mind, honestly, that I was able to be a part of that.
The city, just the nostalgia of playing for a storied franchise. The story franchise of the running back position with guys like Gale Sayers and Walter Payton and being able to follow in those footsteps. So being a Bear means everything.
I mean, what more can you say?
Welcome in to another edition of the Under Center podcast brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined here in our downtown Chicago studios by Cam Ellis. Cam, we're struggling with the amount of space that we have.
It's too much.
Usually we record these in a coat closet at Hallis Hall.
Like, this is like a real seat, and there are real lights. It's wild.
There are real lights. There are not hangers clinging around in the background because the Bears are off this week.
They are.
And we're not going to really get into too much of the game Sunday. For that, give a listen to the immediate post-game pod that Lance and Olin and Alex and Matt and Lawrence did. Really good stuff in there. I thought Olin Krutz made some really good points about Chase Daniel in that and about just the Bears in general. But what I want to do, Cam, on this podcast is just look at the biggest issue facing the Bears, which is broadly they've got to fix this offense. They've got to get the offense going.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy said it after the game. Numbers don't lie. It's not good enough.
Right.
This is not a good offense right now. So I just want to dive into how can this be fixed, and if it is fixable.
Yeah, so those are two very different questions.
Yes.
I think, I don't know, maybe this is just the optimist in me. I think it is. You look at all the stats, and it just, whether it's stats or old euphemisms, it starts at the line. It starts at the line, and that's where they're going to have to fix this, from whether it's pass protection, run protection, whatever it is. It's got to, even over above Mitch or anyone else, it's got to be the line. That's where you have to fix it. So I think the idea that you're going to fix all assets of the offense at once is not going to work, right?
Okay. Yeah. So let's start there with the line, then.
Okay.
Because I think that this is something I was thinking about as I was flying over Greenland, probably, on Monday. Was there aren't excuses in the NFL, right? Look at the Indianapolis Colts, to me, are the perfect example of there being no excuses. They lost their franchise quarterback 2 weeks before the season started. And Jacoby Brissett's been fine, but really for them, it has been because they have one of the best offensive lines, if not the best offensive line in the NFL. Right. Marlon Mack is not a special running back, but they can run the football.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett, not a special quarterback, but he can go through his reads and be protected because of that offensive line. And the Bears, I'm totally with you, Cam. I don't know where this offensive line gets fixed, though.
Yeah.
Because for Trubisky to be better and for the run game to be better, they need to protect Trubisky more and give David Montgomery some more holes. Now, it's not the only thing. There are still things that need to happen around the offensive line, but it does start here. So I think the first question we need to ask, and this is something that Olin Krutz brought up on the Football After Show Sunday, what do you do with Kyle Long? Because he has just not been.
Yeah, it's been bad.
If he is hurt, it
is time to tell the Bears I'm hurt. I think Krutz is right about that. Is that if he's hurt, put him on, put him on the bench, put him on IR, do what you want. He has been very explicit in the locker room to reporters or coaches that he is not hurt. So, and like we were saying earlier, it's probably more of a problem if he's not hurt, because that just means he's playing terribly.
Yeah, we were talking before the pod about this, and I kind of just brought up the point. You don't ever want anyone to be hurt, right? Mm-hmm. But if Kyle Long is hurt, that's an explanation.
Right.
That is okay, he's not 100%. You can say, okay, yeah, if he takes a little bit of time off and he rests up, even if it's just during the off week,
yeah,
and he comes back healthier, that's a good thing. I mean, right. he's been dealing with a hip issue. You can explain away his play by saying that. You cannot the alternative to that is that Kyle Long has just regressed so much
right.
that he's a liability. I mean, if you look at Pro Football Focus, I know you can quibble with their grades as much as you want. His offensive grade is 37.5.
It's like astonishingly
on the team.
Bad.
It's astonishingly yeah. bad.
It's what, like 68th out of 69 yeah. or 70 offensive linemen that are graded or something.
It is. I mean,
he's quite literally been probably one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive linemen in football this
yeah.
year.
Yeah, and that is just, you know, he's allowed, according to Pro Football Focus, he's allowed 14 pressures for an interior guy. That's not good.
No.
Charles Leno's up there at 15. We'll get to him in a bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is just – and in the run game, he's just not playing with a lot of power.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were plays where the Bears would run to the right and David Montgomery would just have nowhere to go
yeah.
against Oakland. And that has been an issue. So the question here that the Bears need to evaluate is, do we keep Kyle Long in the lineup and hope that it is, you know, the hip thing that has hindered him a little bit and – that is why his play has been so poor this year. Or if it's the other answer, which is that he is healthy and he's lost it, you got to take a look at putting Rashad Coward in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one to say we need to go banish Kyle Long
yeah.
to, you know, the far regions of the world just because he's had a tough first quarter of the year. But, I mean, where's the harm of seeing what they have in a half of Rashad Coward, or a game of Rashad Coward, you know? Like, they literally...
What about doing what... They rotated Eric Cush and James Daniels last year.
Right.
Remember that. What about just trying that again?
Right.
I know it's not great for continuity, but continuity has not worked for
like,
this offensive line.
They quite literally cannot get worse, you know? Like,
yeah.
there's nowhere else to go but up. So, I don't... It wouldn't surprise me if Coward starts. I also wouldn't be surprised if they're just saying, hey, you know, Kyle Long's a vet. Kyle Long knows how to figure this out. We have faith in him. But, yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't at least... You would be doing yourself a disservice if you're not seeing if your backup, who has shown sort of surprising... not complacency, what's the word I'm looking for? He's been better than I think people
gave him
credit for.
He was competent. When
yeah.
he came in, he
right.
was competent. And he just has that natural athleticism that, you know, you can maybe try to get something out of that. But granted, I mean, yeah, Rashad Coward playing, I believe it's 30 total snaps in a game is not, that's not enough to say,
no.
well, you know, okay, he should definitely be in there for Kyle Long.
Yeah.
But it's something the Bears at least need to entertain.
It's less about Coward's play and just more about Long's play,
yeah,
right?
I think that's a really good way to put it. Other guy on that line, Charles Leno, his penalty issues this year are so bizarre to me.
Yeah, it's sort of a weird, like, microcosm of the Bears in general, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Because Charles Leno last year was flagged for holding once.
He's very good.
He's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't want to say really good. I mean, he made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
But, which I actually forgot about until I did a little image search for him for an article I was writing this week.
In
his Pro Bowl jersey. He was like, oh, yeah, he made a Pro Bowl last year.
It's the same thing with Mitch.
Mitch Trubisky did make a Pro Bowl last year. But the fact that he's been penalized so much, I think he is the prime example of where Harry Hiestand has to coach better.
Yeah.
Because some of the things that Leno were doing in terms of the hooking guys, which he's done twice this year, that these are points of emphasis in the league. Hands to the face, another point of emphasis. Leno's been called for that a couple times. And Charles Leno... Yeah, he needs to realize what the points of emphasis are, but his coach needs to tell him what
yeah.
the points of emphasis
right.
are. And I don't think it's unfair to say that the Bears' offensive line coaching has failed.
Yeah, it's been bad.
In the fact that they've just been committing so many friggin' penalties.
It's just baffling. No one really has an answer for it. Because this is, I mean, Harry Hiestand doesn't need to defend his legacy. The Bears' offensive
right.
line was fine last year. Like, it's the same coach. It's the same.
Players,
I get that Daniel
yeah.
and I get the switch, but like that can't plummet a team's offensive line, especially when
right.
James Daniel by the PFF
Daniels.
Stat. Daniel, excuse me. Too many Daniels on this team.
Yeah.
James Daniels has more or less been the same or a little bit better, at least by Pro Football Focus's
yeah,
stats.
There have been some issues with Daniels in terms of protections
yeah.
and communication, but. I think those probably have been starting to get cleared up, and they've been a little bit better as the season goes on. him. I'm not really worried about him and Cody Whitehair. I'm really not worried about Bobby Massey. No. Bobby Massey is who he thought he was.
Yeah.
It really is Leno and Long. I think Leno is still going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's this rush to cut him on Twitter because that's what happens when your left tackle commits penalties and gets beat.
Are you saying
times.
There was an overreactionary take on Twitter?
Wow, you should see the takes about them trading for a quarterback. Leno, I think, is going to be okay. It's just I keep going back to Kyle Long.
It's interesting,
they've
too,
got to figure that out.
That they've also talked about communication issues. And it's starting to feel like a communication thing,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of you wouldn't really think of it at first, but you watch the tape and you see every three plays, there's a lineman there that's just in the middle of the field and just like looking around and he doesn't know what to do. And so it's sort of this bizarre, it does sort of, we've talked about it with them in the locker room, it sort of seems like right now there is above anything else, a communication issue about blocking schemes. And
right.
I don't know whether defenses just know how to handle the line better than they did last year.
That also could be, you switch Cody Whitehair and James
right.
Daniels, and some of that might start happening.
That's a great point. So it's interesting, too, that I was looking at sort of offensive lines, and is it possible that David Montgomery is this David Montgomery?
Yeah.
Is it his fault or is the
line's
fault?
This is leading into the next point,
okay.
So good. Go ahead with it. Yeah.
So I looked up again, we're using Pro Football Focus. I don't care. I don't want to hear this tangent. I'm sorry, I don't. And the top five running backs, at least by their grades, Devin Singletary, Buffalo, Jacobs, Oakland, Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Matt Breda.
So that's two rookies this year.
Yes. All five of them, their team's offensive pass blocking is in the top 15 of the league.
Okay.
So Singletary's ninth. Jacobs is 7th, Cook's 15th, McCaffrey's 27th, but the Panthers' pass blocking is way better, and McCaffrey's kind of a hybrid more.
You're saying you're just going by their offense. You're trying to separate the running back success from the offensive line success
right.
by looking at pass blocking.
And it
okay.
is, and the best running backs all have average or above average run blocking lines.
Right.
And so there is that correlation, and the Bears are literally the 31st team in run
Can
blocking.
Can I guess who's 32nd, and is it the Dolphins?
It is. It is the Dolphins.
What a shocker.
And so, like, yeah, David Montgomery is a great running back, but you have to be Saquon Barkley to have a terrible offensive line and still put up giant numbers, and he's just not Saquon Barkley.
I thought Owen Kreutz made this point,
okay.
Which I know I keep going back to stuff Owen Kreutz said. That's because Owen Kreutz is really smart.
Yeah.
So someone asked Owen Kreutz, this is on Wednesday on Twitter, what could David Montgomery do to play better?
Okay.
And I think Owen made a good point here, quote, too much dancing, get downhill and take what's there. Some of it on Montgomery's part. I think he knows he's coming out of the game, so he's trying to make a big play. I think the first part of that I totally buy. Montgomery does have a tendency to kind of dance and he just doesn't go right downhill.
Yeah.
But that's also part of, I think, who he is.
Right.
He's a guy who's shifty, who's able to make guys miss and grind out extra yards.
Right.
He's not Jordan Howard, one cut and go into a wall and
right.
You don't get anything. The second part I think is interesting though. Because Matt Nagy is really not committed to the run.
Sure.
And if you're telling Montgomery, hey, for you to stay in the game, you've got to get explosive plays. You've got to get runs of 10 or more yards, even 5 or more yards to stay in the game, and get a lather going, that might lead to a young player trying to do too much.
I can see that for sure.
I do think though, to me, I, what I've seen from Montgomery is a guy who just is like, he's getting hit at the line way too much.
Like, you can be shifty, you can break tackles all live long day, but you can't break 9 tackles,
right.
You know?
And to me, what I'm seeing is a lot of what happened with Jordan Howard last year, only Montgomery's getting maybe 2 or 3 more yards on those plays.
Right.
Where, Howard, so many times he'd get hit at the line, he would get hit in the backfield, he can't make anyone miss.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard's a guy who needs a really good offensive line and a good run scheme to succeed. Montgomery, though, is averaging fewer yards per carry than Jordan Howard this year.
Yeah,
so
it's bad.
This isn't to totally take all everything off of Montgomery, because I do think there is some of it. Just, hey, put your foot in the ground, see what you can get.
Right.
But they've got, this is another thing where, why trade up for David Montgomery if this is what you're getting out of him? And even if it's not all his fault, the run scheme has not been there in
right.
terms of the coaching.
Yeah.
The blocking has not been there, and You traded up for Montgomery, you switched Daniels and Whitehair, you signed Mike Davis, you did all these things in the offseason to give yourself the best chance of running the football.
Right.
And it has been worse this year.
Yeah, it's been really, really bad. And I think that I'm not ready to put it on Montgomery yet.
Yeah.
Let's see the Bears scheme run better. Let's see the Bears block for run better. And if he's still, if in 6 weeks the Bears, we go, oh, wow, the Bears are blocking better, and David Montgomery's getting 25 carries, and he's still getting 65 yards on 19, 20, 21 carries, then you can go, okay, maybe he needs to figure out how to run in the NFL. But I'm not ready to. You see the plays he can make a couple times a game still, and the flash, he flashes it and it's there. And so I'm just not quite ready to say, hey, David Montgomery's not who they thought they were, because I don't think that's true.
You know what's surprising?
I don't.
You don't, because you're not looking at my computer screen right now. In a small sample size, admittedly, David Montgomery's highest yards per carry average is when he runs between Kyle Long and Bobby Massey.
Huh.
Between the right guard and the right tackle. Now, granted, Kyle Long has not played all those snaps, and that's only six runs for 24 yards. But this is a guy who's averaging 3.3 yards per carry, and he's been better running to the right than he's been running to the left, which is not what when I clicked on this, I was expecting it to be, oh, you know, he's going to be better. They need to run to the left more.
Yeah.
I just think the whole line hasn't been good, and this is, you know, also kind of on him.
I would have been surprised. I would have thought, like, there was no interior gaps that he was, like, even remotely decent at running through at this point.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, the inside zone stuff, they're not getting anything out of that. They're not getting anything really on outside zone. They're just not getting anything.
Yeah, it's funny that we try and sort of nitpick a reason. It's all bad. Like, they just need, they need to take it out, and they need to blow in the cartridge and put it back in. Like,
that is a great Nintendo 64 reference.
I appreciate that. They just need a full reboot. Like, I don't know what that means, because I'm not a X and O football genius, but they need to sort of build this from the ground up again. And I think it's the optimist says, wow, they have, what, 10 days to figure out, like, how they reapproach this, because it's not working. The pessimist says it hasn't really worked in a year and a half of Matt Nagy. You try and weigh both, but, like, there's 2 weeks versus a year and a half it's tough.
The fact that we're still talking about how the Bears can run the football when this was supposed to be the setup for them to run the football.
Right.
And they still can't do it. Again, though, this is not all about these things mushroom beyond. You can't just silo it on the running backs, the offensive line, because the Bears are not getting enough out of their tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting enough out of their wide receivers, not named Allen Robinson. And we'll throw Taylor Gabriel in there, even though he's been hurt.
Yeah.
They're not getting enough out of their quarterbacks.
They're not getting enough out of anyone.
The only player who I am going to say is just exempt from criticism in this whole deal is Allen Robinson.
Yeah,
Allen Robinson's been great.
I absolutely agree with that.
And Taylor Gabriel, I'll give him a lot of credit. I mean, he had a 3-touchdown game, and then game had a concussion. I'll throw him in the exempt list, too.
Yeah, he looks in Washington like he had sort of started coming on and seemed more comfortable than he had earlier in the year.
Right. So, and Trubisky trusted him more.
Yes, that's a big thing, too.
But, you know, Anthony Miller, you can talk all day you want about how he's running open and no one's fighting him, but he dropped a pass that led to a 3-and-out on the Bears' first drive of the second half against the Raiders. I mean, you can't have that.
Right.
He's had some of those plays this year, you know, where he flattens off his route too early, Chase Daniel makes a bad decision, and instead of at least being able to go up and kind of contest the ball with Gerrion Conley, Miller's nowhere in the vicinity, and the Bears lose the game. Like, those things just are, everything is a compounding effect within this offense.
I'm fascinated by the final interception, because after the game, Daniel said, he flattened out a little early, but that's on me. So you look at the tape, and Miller flattens out at, like, the 35-yard line. The ball is intercepted 15 yards up the field. Like, literally 15 yards. So is it Chase Daniel overthrowing him that poorly, or did Anthony Miller flatten out his route 15 yards short, which is not flattening out a route. That's just the wrong route. That's what, 15% of the field? Like, come on.
Yeah,
like, that is not a wrong route. That is not a flattening it out. So, I mean, I'm so into
it. I think that throw was more on Chase than it was on
I think
Miller.
So, too. So it's sort of a bummer that there are all these great questions that we can't ask for a week because they're on the bye. But, like, that is one of the one I want to go back in and be like, what was this really?
Yeah,
because it was not a 5% off. They were not on the same page.
Real quick, before we get to the quarterback, I wrote something on NBC Sports Chicago on Wednesday about Adam Shaheen and how, boy, he's just been invisible this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he played 20% of the snaps on Sunday against the Raiders. It's clear to me the Bears don't trust him in the passing game. They don't trust him in the running game. I thought a big part of their offensive evolution this year could have been using more 12 personnel. They're using it just about the same they are last year. Matt Nagy's play calling in 12 personnel has not been good.
But, yeah, there it is like 20% less effective.
Right.
I have this written down, like 51% last year, 37% this year.
Right.
Like,
And there is room for 12 personnel in this offense, in the Andy Reid West Coast offense from Kansas City, where the Chiefs are running it 28% of the time. The Eagles, with Doug Peterson, who was the OC in Kansas City before Matt Nagy, they're running it 31% of the time. Right. They have the personnel to do it, but the Bears are supposed to have the personnel to do it with Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen, and they're just not. Shaheen is not doing what you need him to do.
Right.
And he's one of these guys who I look at and I just say, maybe they're counting on him too much.
Yeah.
Maybe they're projecting out on this guy so much, and now the offense is stuck in this kind of 11 personnel hell where they can't run the ball in 11 personnel. And
they're not on the same page as any of the three receivers.
Right. And, you know, if Allen Robinson's not having an amazing game, this offense is going nowhere.
Literally nowhere.
And even if Allen Robinson is having an amazing game like he had in week one, the offense still goes nowhere.
So I thought, when I was sort of writing notes about this, something sort of popped on my mind where, you know how much Nagy talks about the adjuster position in their offense?
Yes.
Trey Burton, Anthony Miller, Tariq Cohen.
Yep.
Like, those are their adjusters, and the offense flows through those three guys. At least that's what Nagy says. And they're all having terrible seasons.
Yeah.
So it's sort of fascinating that outside of a line, outside of Mitch, outside of Dave Montgomery, this offense flows through that adjuster position. Nagy talks about it all the time. And the adjusters he has gone out on a limb to explicitly say are Cohen and Burton and Miller. And all three of them are just like vastly underperforming. So it's sort of a fascinating, you see why the offense isn't flowing if you're to believe that's sort of the three people that Nagy wants the offense involving a lot.
Tariq Cohen's averaging 4.5 yards per touch. That's lower than it was his rookie year when everyone was complaining about how Dal Loggins couldn't figure out how to use him.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think that Tariq Cohen's that's a great example of the Bears not, I mean, I think it's still sort of the case, not knowing how to use him.
It's so out of sync.
Every time they go to Tariq Cohen, you're like, why did they do that in that play, you know? Like,
all the other players. He's averaging 2.2 yards per rush this year.
Yeah, all the other players, you're like, they did not necessarily play well. I look at Cohen and I go, he's not getting coached the right way.
Yeah, because it's not like Cohen has lost his explosiveness.
Right.
We saw the punt return he had.
Right.
That dude's still a really explosive player. I think that's a great point, Cam. Cohen being the guy who coaches have maybe failed the most here.
Yeah.
Because there is no earthly reason why Tariq Cohen should be averaging 4.5 yards per touch.
Right. And he's getting a bunch of, like, A-gap runs and stuff.
He's running, like, A-gap. He's running these stick routes where he's averaging 6.4 yards per reception. I mean, they're just not getting him the ball in the way that you should be getting Tariq Cohen the ball. And,
it goes back to your point about what Olin Kreutz said about, why is David Montgomery concerned that he's going to get pulled for traditional runs for Tariq Cohen? Like, that's a coaching failure. Like, David Montgomery should know that he's not going to get subbed out.
He's certainly not getting pulled for Mike Davis.
Right.
Mike Davis isn't even a part of this offense.
Exactly. David Montgomery should not go into a first down run thinking, well, they shouldn't be running a first down anyways. But he should not go into a run thinking, oh, if I don't get 8 yards, they're going to run up the middle with Tariq Cohen next. Like, that shouldn't even be a concern of his.
Right.
And the fact that it is like maybe a pretty terrible thing.
Yeah. So we've kind of gone over all this, and let's just finish off this half of the podcast with the quarterback.
Okay.
Because I feel like the Bears are 5 games into the season. They are right back where they were before the season started, where you're just like, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot from Mitch, but we're just hoping he gets it.
Yeah.
And that is a massive, massive disappointment right now.
It's funny what one Chase Daniel start will do for Mitch's like PR in Chicago.
As soon as Chase threw that interception where he couldn't see over the line and it was picked off by the Raiders linebacker and in Bears territory, which you cannot do if you're Chase Daniel. I was like, okay, we should probably go back to Mitch. The Chase Daniel should start crowd.
I was going to say, when was the last time you can remember this many Bears fan like clamoring for Mitch Trubisky again?
Yeah, right. Or apparently if you're a very small segment of the fan base clamoring for Josh Rosen, which I'm just like, Josh Rosen hasn't done. Josh Rosen has done less in his career than Mitch Trubisky, so we're not even talking about this.
If he could have won a quarterback job at any point in the year, like he probably would have by now, don't you think? Especially in the Dolphins.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree.
Also, if the Dolphins were to trade him, they would be, that would be an admission that he can't even be their future of their franchise because he's that bad.
So, I will say, that a little bit, maybe they're going, Josh Rosen's fine, but like maybe they're just tanking for this Tua, or whoever it is.
Yeah.
So maybe they go, we're not even going to give Josh a chance because we don't even care because we just want Tua. But that's sort of lazy team building in the first place.
Right.
So, yes, it's not a great point.
Anyways, so when Trubisky comes back, I think there are some things that Daniel did that Mitch can take Mitch can grow upon, essentially. Yeah. I mean, Daniel, to his credit, hit some good downfield throws.
Yeah.
He looked good throwing the ball downfield to Allen Robinson, to Anthony Miller, to Javon Wims.
Yeah.
Mitch has made maybe one of those throws this year, and it was to Taylor Gabriel against Washington.
Yeah.
You know, those downfield throws Mitch has not had. Just Chase looks like a guy who just, like, gets it and rips it on those throws. Mitch seems a little indecisive.
Right.
Just take it from Chase. Hey, these guys are going to go up and make plays.
Yeah.
Robinson can make plays. Anthony Miller, that was a spectacular catch
made. Yeah.
Javon Wims has shown he can go up and make plays. You know Gabriel can. Just let it go and let these guys make plays.
The big thing I saw was I think it was the Robinson second TD and on that double move and on the Anthony Miller pass. Both of those plays, he shoulder pumps to Cohen, wheeling out, and then hits the second read. And that's just what Mitch doesn't do.
Yeah.
You know, Mitch stares down the receiver and throws it to him, whoever's around.
Right.
I want to see Mitch shoulder pump to on a wheel and then hit a guy doing a double move deep. Like, that's what you want to see. Mm. And more so than the deep throws, I just saw, I mean, it's not rocket science. Chase Daniel knows how to go through his reads. Mitch doesn't really. So you want to see, I want to see that sort of progressing through the reads more, which is not necessarily new, but you see it, you see Chase do it, and you're like, wow, this is great.
I think some of the conviction throws Daniel is able to make are what Mitch needs to take.
Yeah.
Just, you know what, hey, this is what the offense is. Have conviction and just make the damn throw and don't kind of look, you know, tense making it. I mean, Chase Daniel, for all the physical shortcomings he has, he knows the offense. And again, God, I feel like this is the fifth time I've been like, but Olin Kreutz said. Olin Kreutz did say on the Football After Show podcast that Chase Daniel seems like a guy who knows, almost like is too confident in himself.
Right.
And I took that as, I think Chase knows the offense so well, but doesn't have the physical ability to execute the offense. I saw this with Tommy Rees when he was Notre Dame's quarterback and I covered him. Tommy Rees knew Notre Dame's offense so well. Hmm. And that he's like, that guy's going to be open. Yeah. I'm going to make the throw. But he didn't have the physical ability to make the throw, and he would get picked off. I think that's what we've seen with Chase Daniel.
Right.
If you can just get a quarterback like Trubisky who has the talent to make those throws, to have conviction, and you know, that's the read, that's the right read, I'm going to make the throw, this offense can start to get going.
Right. My concern is that, like, hasn't Mitch been learning from Chase Daniel his entire career? Like,
pretty much.
So, like, you hope that he sees how Daniel runs the game and goes, oh, I picked this up. I will now do this in my games, and I'll be better. But, like, where has that been? Why is this bye week going to do something that the last year and a half hasn't?
Yeah.
That's my point.
That's, you know, that's, boy, is that a depressing thought.
Yes, it is extremely depressing.
I mean, again, we're just back to hoping that Trubisky can be the quarterback the Bears think he is.
And it really feels like a hope more so now than it ever has before.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. There are fewer and fewer reasons to believe.
Right.
There are more and more reasons to doubt.
Just be like, let's hope this works. But
if
it doesn't, I mean, this offseason is going to be more of a decision-making time than I think anyone gave credit to last
offseason. I mean, if Mitch doesn't turn it around, We'll get to that later,
but we
both know where that can go,
and
it can go to a place where the Bears have to make a very difficult decision.
Lots of podcast weeks.
A lot of pod fodder then. Anyways, we're going to take a break here on the Under Center podcast. We're going to come back with some more cheery topics about the Bears.
They do exist.
They do exist. You know what also exists? Remembering that fire sprinklers don't work without water.
Get your
building's fire pump tested ASAP. Go to sprinklerfitterchicago.org or call 708-597-1800. Sprinkler Fitters, Union Local 281, protecting Chicagoland for over 100 years. Cam and I will be back right after the break.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
All right, Cam and JJ back here on the Under Center podcast brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281. So we just had a pretty cloudy view of
sure
the Bears, you know, offense. A lot of concerns there, but let's flip it over here to some good things.
Let's
do it.
And
that starts with the defense.
Yeah.
Because even though the defense gave up 24 points and Josh Jacobs ran all over them and they had a 97-yard game-losing touchdown drive, this just popped into my head today. Last year, through 3 weeks, the Bears offense had given up, or sorry, 6 weeks, the Bears offense had given up 24 or more points in a game 3 times.
Okay. So half the games.
Half the games. They'd given up 24 or more points. They lost a game to Green Bay in week one because Eddie Jackson didn't stay on the shoulder of, was it Randall Cobb? I think it was Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
75-yard touchdown, game over. They lose.
Yeah.
They lost to the Dolphins because they couldn't tackle in the heat.
And it was 8,000 degrees out.
8,000 degrees out. They lost to the Patriots. Well, yeah, they gave up 14 points on special teams. That defense still, they gave up a big gain to Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Turned into a couple touchdowns there.
Tom Brady's their quarterback.
Tom Brady, yeah, right, they're going against Tom Brady. The Bears defense is fine.
Yeah, oh,
there's no reason to worry about them after what happened against Oakland.
Yeah.
I give John Gruden a ton of credit for the game plan that he devised to take Khalil Mack out, to use some cut blocks that were dodgily legal.
It's very Gruden-esque to, like, find that perfect line and just ride it the whole game.
Oh, I mean, Richie Incognito, you can ask for a better guy to do that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good
point. I also think, I mean, the Bears are not going to face an offensive line as big as the Oakland Raiders again this year. Mm-hmm. I do think that is one thing that the Bears have struggled with in the past is just specifically Trent Brown, just a big dude. They've kind of struggled with that. The Bears defense is going to be fine.
Yeah, if you're panicking about the Bears defense, like there's so much other things to panic about. Like, be happy about this one thing.
Like, in spite of giving up those 24 points and in spite of giving up that 97-yard drive, this defense got a stop that they had 4th and 6 with the Raiders backed up deep in their own territory. Kevin Pierre-Louis gets the run, you know, running into the kicker, which he shouldn't, you know, he can say he got shoved into it. You don't even be near the kicker. You're not going to block that.
Yeah.
You already have the lead. You don't need the block.
Just I think that's actually a coaching error more than it is.
I think you're right. Just to be like, hey, don't even get near him.
Don't try it.
Don't even risk getting blocked into him.
Right.
Obviously, that's easy for us to say. We weren't on the field there. But I do think that, you know, just don't even get near him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I talked to Prince Amukamara about it after the game. Like, how hard was it to overcome that? And he was like, you know, we practice those situations, sudden change. You know, we just got off the field. Offense, there was an interception. We got to get back on. But he was like, there was, you know, part of it where you're just like, okay, we got off the field. We got the stop. We're going to win this game. And then
it's a gut punch.
Okay, we got to get it. That's a gut punch. That's hard to come back from.
Yeah.
If that's the way you lose the game, you can't give up a 97-yard drive. But there was a mitigating factor in there. Also, too, the Bears thought they had the ball. They thought that there was a fumble on that play, the Buster screen recovered, and then it was overturned by replay because the runner's arm was pretty clearly down. But they thought they had that ball. That is an additional gut punch to this whole thing.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it was just such a deflating drive that it was just like, you can be the best defense in the world, but if you think you get off the field twice and you don't get any of them, like, that's so hard. You can be the best defense ever. That's so hard to overcome.
And, you know, it reminded me of the Dolphins game in a way, in that they had this miracle turnover at the goal line. Last year against Miami, Akeem Hicks forced a fumble on Kenyon Drake. The Bears recovered at the goal line as Miami was about to win the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't amount to a win. Sherrick McManus, that peanut punch was amazing.
It's pretty wild how the Bears will be backed up on their own one, and you'll go, I don't know if the other team will score here.
Yeah.
Like, they just have this weird penchant of literally at the 1 yard line grading these turnovers. And it's sort of anecdotal at best, but like, it's a cool thing, I guess.
I mean, you know, like week 2 against Denver, the Broncos got down to the 2 yard line, and Kyle Fuller had that interception.
Right.
And it's just like, how many times can they do this?
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And that ability has not gone away. This defense has such a will to compete and win that they're fine. Even if Akeem Hicks is out for a little while with that elbow injury, even if, you know, they don't get Bilal Nichols back immediately after the off week, this defense is going to be fine, man. They're so good.
And I think that's the credit to Nagy, the coach. The competitiveness that both sides, I mean, one more successful than the other, play with is that, and this is a larger tangent for a larger day, but Nagy, the coach, I think, is doing a great job.
Yes.
Whether it's motivating, whether it's getting guys up, Nagy, the play caller, Nagy, the schemer, Nagy, the details of traveling,
totally different.
Probably a little behind.
Oh, so you're a jet lag truther.
So I'm not a jet lag truther in that I don't think that's the problem. I wish Matt Nagy would come out and say it didn't help. I just cannot imagine a world where it didn't play a role. I just think that every team that goes there late says it sucks, and every team that goes there early says this is better than going late. And it's a silly excuse to lean on, but I wish he would have at least said there's some sort of stubbornness that I didn't love, and maybe that's a little too takey for it, but I wish he could have acknowledged that it maybe played a role.
So I wrote about this after the game. After the Bears lost to the Dolphins last year, no one was saying the heat was an excuse.
Yeah.
After they almost lost to the Broncos, yeah, no one was saying the
You're
altitude.
Right. You're right.
After they lost to the Giants last year, no one was saying the cold and the rain was an excuse. You're not going to get that out of anyone right after a game. But I do think that other teams have gone over in the same time, and I thought Prince Mukamara made the point. The Jaguars in 2016, they went over when the Bears did on Thursday night into Friday. Yeah. The Colts went over that week early, and the Jaguars, who were a worse team than the Colts, beat the Colts in that game.
Right.
So it can happen. I don't think it mattered to the point that it lost the Bears the game.
Right.
Maybe it played a slight impact. I mean, I do think the Raiders had this sort of training camp mentality, but it was also sort of unique in that they're away for like 3 weeks.
Right, right.
So, I don't think if the Bears went over on Monday, it would have been any different.
Yeah.
I think they still probably would have had the same result.
I think that there's a little bit of difference between weather-related things and, like, you tell me, how do you feel, coming back from two transatlantic flights in a week? Like, probably not great, right?
I right now I feel a little tired, but when I got over there, that first day, I was exhausted. I fell asleep in the Uber back from Watford after covering the Raiders practice. But then I went out and...
Was the Uber driver just like, yo, man, you got to get out of the car now?
No, he was fine.
Oh, okay.
But then I went out to dinner with Scott Baer from NBC Sports Bay Area that night. He made me stay up till like 11:30.
Oh my God.
To bed. The next day I felt great.
Okay.
I was up in the morning. I was at the Regency Cafe on a recommendation to Roger Bennett. And I was feeling great that day. I walked 13 miles.
Wow.
The first full day I was in London.
How many steps is that?
29,000.
Oh, my God.
So... Not to say that if I can walk 13 miles one day after landing in London, the Bears can play a football game.
But
those are very different things.
Right.
But I don't think it had an impact. Anyways, the other thing I want to get to here, because we kind of touched on it. So just this competitiveness that the Bears have.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be blown out in a game this year.
I don't think so.
That's
either.
Just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Every loss they have, they will be in it until the end. They'll either have a chance to win, or they'll have on offense, or a chance to win on defense.
Which is a little heartbreaking given the offense. You're like, ugh.
Yeah.
There are some gut. Speaking of gut punches,
right.
There are some gut punches coming down the pike. I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. That noise was a reference to me thinking about them playing the Eagles on the road in a couple weeks,
and then the Chargers. The Saints and then the
Saints,
Chargers
then the
and
Chargers.
Then the Eagles.
Chargers, low-key, they're going to win that game. They're going to be fine.
Yeah.
The Saints, that might be the gut punch, actually.
You think so?
Saints.
I'm a little more bullish on the Saints game than I was with Drew Brees.
Chargers just lost, is it Marquise or Marie? Which Pouncey? They lost a start. They lost a Pouncey. Mike Pouncey,
okay.
Their Pro Bowl center. So the Chargers just ravaged by injuries.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers does not look like the same guy. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. They're going to beat the Chargers.
Hope so.
I don't know if they're going to beat the Saints.
Yeah.
But they're going to be competitive in these games. Because of Matt Nagy, because of the leaders on this team, whether it's on defense, your Danny Trevathans, your Eddie Jacksons, yeah. Khalil Mack on offense, Allen Robinson, Cody Whitehair, these guys, they're going to keep the Bears in these games.
It's a strong locker room.
It's a really strong locker room.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they're going to win them all.
Right.
But they're at least going to have a chance to win every game they're in.
Right. It sort of harks back to John Mullen's favorite line, which is, it won't win you a game, but it won't lose you a game.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so...
Shout out to Moon, by the way, he's back in the States now. He'll be back on the pod next week after his detox from drinking a bunch of red wine in Tuscany.
Yeah, he's talk about someone who's probably a little jet-lagged.
Yeah, and other things.
Yeah.
Anyways, the last positive to get to before we get out of here, how about... One Eddie Pinheiro.
The sweet irony of it all.
The sweet irony of this whole thing. So Eddie Pinheiro has made 8 of his 9 field goals this year, including a game-winning 53-yard field goal. Adam Vinatieri this year, 8 of 11. Adam Vinatieri literally lost the Colts a game in week 1.
And Vinatieri's been better than he started, too. Like, he started off terribly.
Would you like to guess how many of the 12 field goals Robbie Gould has attempted that he's made?
Like, not very many, right?
Just give me a number. Let me see what you're
about. 7.
7 is correct.
Yes, let's
Robbie
go.
Robbie Gould is 7 of 12 on field goals this year.
He went 0 for 3 on Monday night, didn't he?
He went 0 for 3 on Monday night. Greg Zuerlein missed a game-winning field goal against Seattle last week. The Bears are just fine at kicker.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie, I think Eddie Pinheiro's good. I think he's very, very
good.
Yeah,
if Eddie Pinheiro can make 8 of 9 field goals while, and not miss a PAT, by the way, while dealing with a pinched nerve in his leg that affects his ability to lock his leg.
Yeah.
I know Pinheiro didn't make a long field goal the last couple weeks, but that dude showed me a lot.
Yeah.
Even more so than making that game-winning field goal by gritting through this injury, missing only once. Now he gets this off week to get healthy. He thinks he'll be healthy. By the way, he got ran into by Arden Key.
I was wondering about that. Like, he milked it, didn't he? Do you think so or no?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know if he milked that. I saw him on the sideline. I don't think he milked that.
Interesting. Okay.
That hurt, and he still came back and made all his PATs. They didn't have him attempt a field goal. They didn't need him to, but they're just fine with Eddie Pinheiro. That is not anything you need to worry about.
Yeah. No. It's. I mean, like we said, like it's sort of ironic that the thing we talked about every single day for 6 months this winter is just like the least of their concerns.
It literally is the least of their concerns.
And I think that he is the knee injury has, in a weird way, not just the knee injury, but also the game-winning field goal, obviously. Like, the Bears ride with Eddie Pinheiro now.
Well they should, yeah.
Right, and they see this guy that is sort of not making excuses for his injury and still making kicks. And, like, there is a belief in Eddie Pinheiro that there was never that belief in Cody Parkey last year.
No,
and there was never the camaraderie. And that's more so speaking to Pinheiro's personality versus Cody Parkey's personality.
Parkey was accepted by certain people in that locker room, but Eddie Pinheiro is accepted by everyone in that locker room.
Cody Parkey was never in the middle of club dub dances last year.
Cody Parkey, current Tennessee Titan.
Yeah, how about that?
Bears play the Titans in 2020. Will Cody Parkey be their kicker, yes or no?
Yes.
Wow.
I'll say yes.
Parkey's going to make it the whole year.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
whatever.
I like it.
In Nashville, too.
In Nashville.
Which is great for us.
Yeah, which means we don't... Yeah, I mean, you're right. It means we get a trip to Nashville.
Right.
We're going to get a trip to, I don't know, leaving you. I'm going to just...
That is
an all-time bad attempt at ending a podcast.
The first segue was better than the second segue.
Cam, you know what's better than that?
Tell me.
The Sunday Night 7 game on the NBC Sports Predictor app. There's really no reason not to play. It's totally free and has $2 million guaranteed in cash prizes this season with $100,000 up for grabs every week. Just make 7 predictions about what will happen in Sunday Night Football for a chance to win some serious money. I should have had my wife do this when the Colts played the Chiefs on Sunday night because she was all like, Colts are going to win.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, they're not. They're playing the Chiefs.
Right.
And the Colts beat the Chiefs.
You could have
$2 million
guaranteed
Scott Shagnon,
money.
Our video editor here, who's a diehard Chiefs fan. Anyways, download the NBC Sports Predictor app or head to NBCSports.com/predictor now to make your Sunday Night 7 picks.
A lot of money.
Anyways, that's going to do it for us here on the Under Center podcast. We'll be back next week with 2 more podcasts leading up to Week 7's Bears-Saints game, which may or may not involve Mitchell Trubisky. Those pods also may or may not involve John Moon Mullen.
He's back.
Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast and give us a 5-star review while you're there if you like us. Also, special thanks to all of our listeners who I saw out in London last week. It was really cool running into all you guys over there.
Did you get to run into a lot of people?
I did, yeah. Nice. It was neat. Nice. I had a very nice man named Aaron from Ireland come up to me in the concourse of Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and say hi. Really nice to meet all you guys over there.
How's the stadium?
Really nice.
Yeah.
Best stadium ever.
It looked
been
cool.
In.
Wow,
yeah.
Really?
Beat out US Bank Stadium.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, I forgot the guy's name who came up to me. I was chatting with Arlo White of NBC Sports Soccer, and a guy came up to me to say hi, and I'm sorry I didn't get your name, but really appreciate everyone who has come and said hi and given us those 5-star ratings and reviews that we like to see. Anyways, that'll do it for us. Enjoy the off week, and we'll talk to you later here on the Under Center podcast.